You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on my couch. Welcome. This is the place where we talk about things that are going on in your life that I may be able to help you with, suggest things, give you some ideas, working through problems. You know the drill. I'm your friendly psychologist. Or as they call me, the straight talk doc. Because I'm laying it out the way it is. I'm just going to tell you what I see, what I've learned, what I've studied, some of the results in the past that have worked for other people. That's what we talk about here on the couch. So kick back for a while, because we're going to be talking about a really cool book from my special guest, Alan Fox. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And also, I'm going to be answering your questions, problems, issues you may have at 323-203-0815 if you'd like to call me. Here on LA Talk Radio, 323-203-0815, or of course you can email me if you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, right here at the station, Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle, I have two L's in my name, at AOL, yeah, dash the one. What would make you happier? I know, that's the $1 million, gazillion-dollar question. More money? A good relationship? Better relationship? Great sex? More sex? Less stress? Well, yeah. Have you said yup to all or some of these things? Well, this is the number one question I hear from patients. How can I be happier? So what's your issue? What's going on? I just want to be happier. Well, I get it. We all do. That's what we're about here on this earth. What are we going to do to make our lives happier and just feel better? Now, I tell a lot of my patients that they can choose, and you know I've talked about this on the air, to be happier. It does take some work, though, to change your thoughts. Ooh, I'm going to have to work? You can't just do something and talk to me and make me feel better? Well, I can try. But, you know, it's really worth it to look at some of the tools you can use. And a lot of my patients say that, you know, that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, is bull. It's all great when you're with a group of friends and you've had a couple of margaritas, you put that song on and you're, yes, don't worry, come on, we're in a group here and we're not having any stress right now. But usually when we're not doing that, kicking back with friends and relaxing, no matter where we turn, there's issues to be dealt with. Come on now. We have issues every day. That's the way it is. And I don't want you to look at it as life is a struggle every day. Because that's not the way to live. Right? So there's issues to deal with no matter what it is. Like your partner, relationship problems, work issues. You have no time for yourself. And of course, the biggie, you know what I'm going to say? No. No. Not enough money. Come on now. I hate my job and I'm working so hard and I still can't, barely can pay my bills. So here's the dealio. What you have to do, first of all, is you have to choose that you want to be happy. Your choice. And you have to get out of this self-pity party thing you've been accustomed to. Or as I say, addicted to the drama. Listen, studies show all brain chemistry. We get addicted to that negativity and drama and depression and anxiety. And so step one is just give in. Come on, Marvin Gaye, baby. Got to give it up. Decide to be happier. Just decide. You know what? And then you get to choose strategies instead of complaining all the time. I mean, it's nice to have people to talk to, of course. That's what I do sometimes. I do talk therapy. I'm here and I'm supportive. For real, I do care about your stuff. And I do care about what makes you feel depressed, anxious, and really poorly in your life. But, you know, the deal is that you need to step out of that complaining all the time, because you'll find that a lot of people go away or they call you less, unless they're also drama queens or kings in your life and they just thrive off your pain and then they share your pain, their pain rather. So the thing is that what you got to do is just decide, okay, that's it. I'm done. I want to be happier. So a lot of people say, okay, let's do it. We're going to be happier. So here's how it goes. What you have to do, I think, is number one, you have to try to just find some good things in your life. You have to find some good things that'll make you happier. That's the way it is. That's the way it works, don't you know? Gratitude. I know you're saying airy fairy. Gratitude. I'm going to give gratitude. It works. Get off it. I don't care how small it is. You get up in the morning and you can say, dang, I'm breathing. I'm a conscious person. Wow, thank you. I don't care who you're thanking. Thank yourself. Thank your higher power, whoever that may be. But say, darn, this is cool. I'm conscious. I'm awake. Now, if you have other things you might want to be grateful for, go for that too. That'll be great. That'll be terrific. You know what I'm saying? So that's what you have to do. You have to say, that's great. I'm going to be grateful and life will be good. So just think about that. Also, try to forgive old stuff going on in your life. Try to forgive, please. I know it's tough when you've had abusive parents and you've had abusive other kids at school. You've been bullied. You've been dumped in relationships. You don't like yourself too well, because a lot of people make us feel sad or less than in our lives. So it's better to forgive, really. I know you've heard that. But it really reduces a lot of bad events, and which create bitterness and resentment. It only makes you depressed, anxious, and can actually make you physically sick. So sometimes if we first kind of recall what hurt us and then look at the perpetrator as an observer, we be the observer. We're looking at someone who may have hurt us, okay? And that's the way it works, okay? Just kind of take your own ego out of the mix, and that'll work for you sometimes. That's the way it is. So what we have to do is we have to work it. We have to work it. And you have to just hang in there, guys. So that's what you need to do. Try to just let those grudges go. That'll be great. Don't be the victim. Don't be a victim. Don't dwell on your anger and your hurt and your desire and vengeance. Got to get back at them too. Don't do that, guys. This is just a quick and dirty for you before we talk to our guest, Alan Fox, today. And he's going to help us with people tools. Yeah, you're going to learn tools to be a real good people person. And make your life happier, too. Also, you got to try to counteract your negative thoughts and feelings. Oh, I know it's tough. I can't control my thoughts. I can't control my hurt. I'm pissed at these people. You know, there's a guy who wrote a book. It's really cool. John Haidt is the author of The Happiness Hypothesis. And he says, our minds are like a man riding an elephant. I never forgot this because I thought it was cool. The elephant represents the powerful thoughts and feelings, mostly unconscious, that drive your behavior. The man, of course, he's weaker. He can exert control over the elephant. Just like you can exert control over your own thoughts and feelings. Other people aren't forcing you to feel the way you are. All right? So what you have to do is retrain the elephant. For example, you can practice meditation, rhythmic breathing, yoga, relaxation techniques, or you can chill out your anxiety and promote serenity. Okay, folks? So don't give other people the power to make you suffer and continually focus on what they did to you and hang on to it. Yeah, we do have some pretty tough upbringing. Some of the stories I hear, and it's tough. But we have to let that go so we can focus. I always say you can't drive a car and look in the rearview mirror because you're going to crash. So you have to look ahead at what you want. And something else, exercise is great. Use all those physical activity things. Yoga, you don't have to be, this monk. Just learn how to breathe and focus on nothing. Meditation's great. Also, just taking good care of yourself, eating well. You feel better when you take care of yourself. That's the way it is. And also remember, money can't buy happiness. I mean, it's a lot easier to pay bills and you don't have, the collectors calling you constantly, knocking on your door. It's really tough all the time. But some of the most unhappy people I deal with in my practice are very wealthy people. All right? So that's the way it is, folks. Remember, money can't buy happiness. So remember that, guys. Okay? And also, you need to foster some friendship. You got to have friends. People who have more friends live longer, period, end of report. We have friendship. We have support. We have guidance. We have, as long as you have healthy friends, too. So it turns out that happiness can be a matter of choice, not just luck. He's so lucky. No, you got to work at it. We all have issues. We all have problems in our life. And, let me just throw in the genes thing. Some people have better genes than others. A lot of people inherit depressive genes and anxious genes and all that. But certain thought patterns, skills can help us become happier. So I really wanted to talk about that. I really wanted to help you with that. And do my spiel on happiness because, it's the most important thing in my practice. And it's what I hear all the time. It's the things that I get. And I thought it would be a great segue into talking with my special guest today who is on hold. And it's Alan Fox. And we're going to be talking. Alan, you're here. Hello there. How are you?
Yes. Hi. Good, thanks.
Great. So nice to have you. Now, Alan has written a terrific book. And I told you guys about it at the top of the show. It's called People Tools. 54 strategies for building relationships, creating joy, and embracing prosperity. And let me just give you a little intro, shall I, Alan? You have a lot of things going on. You've been busy in your life. You have graduate degrees in law, education, professional writing, a hugely successful commercial real estate mogul. You sit on the board of several nonprofit foundations, which focus on wellness, children, health, education. And you're also the founder of Rattle, one of the most respected literary magazines in the U.S. So, that's just a few of the accolades that you have. But welcome to the show, Alan. So nice to have you here.
Well, thank you, Dr. Michelle. Hey. That's great.
Terrific book, man. I really liked it. It's about time that you come out with a really bestseller. I mean, I know you're a writer. You've been doing that for so many years, but this is an amazing, helpful book. People Tools! So let's talk about that. Let's help our listeners today, shall we? What are people tools? What are they?
People tools are ways of thinking about your life and your problems and relationships with others. You're just talking on your show about having negative thoughts.
Yeah.
And I always have positive expectations. I was sitting in my office before Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
And I had a project. I started at 9 a.m. and I had to leave at 6 the next morning on vacation. And I'm here at my office at 10 p.m. and I started thinking, oh, Alan, you're going to get too tired. You can't do this. I said, wait, stop that.
Yeah,
if I get tired, I'll get tired. Yeah, but right. I'm going to have a positive expectation that I can finish the job.
Yeah.
And, one in the morning I did. I think thinking positively is absolutely the key.
Yep, I agree. So you have created, and I know you have many more in your toolbox, but specifically for your book, The People Tools, you have 54 strategies, which are, you know, each and every one of them are terrific. And, you know, they sort of cross, sometimes they cross into each other, but you do have a point in each chapter to make about, come on, guys, let's take a look at this. So, and as I mentioned earlier, Alan, you know, what happens is with a lot of people, and I know you know this too, because you work with many, many, many clients, we all learn certain beliefs, negative beliefs, you know, and, you know, what can I say? You talk about in your book, you learn from your family some fearful things, as, you know, being candid myself, I learned a lot of negative, fearful things from growing up in my family. You suggest some of the things that you heard were other people are out to get you, or something like, if you're too smart, other people will dislike you. Oh, God.
Right.
Isn't that special? So how did you go about, I'm really fascinated with you personally, getting rid of these truths? In other words, what advice can you give to listeners about just changing some of their negative beliefs? How did you crawl out of this negative cavern?
I crawled out of it by getting lots of help and by thinking about it for years. Yep. You know, one of my people tools is Socrates, know thyself. Mm. You've got to know yourself. Know what you like, don't like. Know what you're good at, not good at. And also know what you're afraid of. You know, I'm really afraid of rejection. I don't want people to reject me. And I go to, like, you know, one of my tools is get past perfect. I used to want to be perfect in everything when I was practicing law, get out a perfect letter with no erasures. Oh. But, you know, it takes a lot of time and energy. It's not efficient. And I can't think of a day of my life that I couldn't have done something a little bit better. So, you know, I say get past perfect, shoot for perfect, and settle for being really good. People are not going to reject you just because you did a really good job.
Wow. That's a huge thing for people to think about. I think that we all have that little voice inside of us that's always, oh, that wasn't good enough. Oh, no, what did they think about that? Ooh, I shouldn't have said that. So that's really important advice. Get over. You can't be perfect. There's no such thing, is there, Alan?
That's correct. Absolutely.
Well, you know, it's a tough thing. So let's talk about some of your strategies for building relationships, because, you know, we do a lot of relationship help here on the show and in my practice, of course. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about one of my really favorite things that you talked about here in your 54 people tools was the belt buckle tool. I really like that. Can you explain that a little bit more to folks out there?
Absolutely. And I want to say, you know, I find lessons everywhere. If you pay attention to your life and what happens. I was reading years ago an interview with an All-American college defensive football player, and he was asked, how do you tackle the great runners?
Yeah.
What do you do? And he said, well, you know, a great runner, they'll fake with their head, they'll fake with their eyes, you know, they'll look somewhere else, they'll fake with their shoulders.
Yeah.
They can't fake with their belt buckle. Wherever the belt buckle is going, that's where they're going. So he says, I just watch the belt buckle. And I take that to mean I watch what people do, not what they say. I don't know about, you know, I don't know how many men listen to your show, but, you know, when I was in high school asking girls out on dates, oh, I can't make it Friday. Nope, so out Saturday. Oh, next week. I really don't make dates that far in advance. Their words were pleasant and reassuring. Their bet bucket was not going to get into my VW bug. So watch what people do and believe what they do. And if there's a difference between what they do and what they say, believe what they do. Believe their belt buckle.
Mm, that's a great tool. Man, that is so true. You also, something else that was so cool in your alliteration. I love alliteration. I know you're a literary guy.
Yes.
You're so cool. You say that persistent patterns persist persistently. Love
right.
It. It makes so sense. Feels good to say. What does that mean?
Okay. Well, I came up with this idea because when there's a pattern, like, you know, when I go, you know, I've always had, you know, fighting my weight.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to a buffet restaurant, I always eat too much. That's my pattern. learn.
Yeah.
And so why should I expect? Every time I went, I would say, no, this time I'm going to do it right. I'll just take one plate. I'll get vegetables. Didn't happen. So my pattern was eating too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to either not go to those restaurants or have my wife just take the one plate, and I don't even go up to the buffet.
Yep.
So, and if you have a pattern that's well entrenched,
mm-hmm.
it's almost certainly going to continue. So when you find a pattern in yourself or somebody else, and you bet that it will continue. A friend of mine is always late for lunch. Well, why should I expect him to be any different? So he meets me in my office now, and if he's a half hour late, I'm doing work. That's okay. I don't want to sit at a restaurant for half an hour.
Yeah.
So patterns persist.
Yeah, they do. I know. But it's so much fun to eat. Come on now. Oh, man. Jeez.
Yes, it is. But, you know, there's another people to ask for help. And
yeah.
I've been working with a nutritionist for about 2 years.
Good for you,
and
man.
I found that I can get along with half a sandwich for lunch. I don't have to have a whole sandwich and potato chips and dessert and something, a sweet drink.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you ask for help and get people to make suggestions, and I eat more protein, and you know, I don't go through a half a loaf of bread before dinner.
Oh,
and
really?
I've lost 60 pounds.
Good for you, man. No, it is. And it is about, you know, trying to, I guess, moderation and everything and exercise. But we all know that stuff.
Yep.
But good for you,
yep.
man. Awesome. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest. His name's Alan Fox, and he's the author of his latest book. It's called People Tools, 54 Strategies for Building Relationships, Creating Joy, and Embracing Prosperity. Isn't that a cool image? Embrace. Just let it go, baby. Just open it up and allow yourself to get it, you know? But we're going to find
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We know, Michelle, the first sentence in my book
uh-huh.
is, if you have enough joy in your life, what else do you really need?
Right.
And then I said, you know, if you're like my mom, you skip to the back to find out how the book ends. It ends the same way. If you have enough joy in your life, what else do you really need? And money is fine. I love money. It's wonderful. But
sure.
it's not the be-all, end-all. Money
yeah.
should be in service of joy in your life.
Yeah.
And not something you worry about all the time, not something you hoard.
Mm.
I used to have happy faces on my check. People said, why do you have a happy
That's
face on your
cool.
check? I said, well, because if I'm writing the check, whatever I'm getting, I value more than the money.
That's cool. I really like that. No, isn't that true? You know, what I find is some of the most unhappiest people who I see in my practice are really wealthy. And I know that sounds weird. A lot of listeners, yeah, right. But truly, it's because they haven't resolved a lot of other stuff. I mean, they may be great and successful and on the outside and have created their little empire or inherited that, which is fine.
Right.
Cool. Great. But the deal is that, you know, they still haven't forgiven themselves for a lot of things or their parents or their whatever. And sometimes they're paranoid because they think people want to hang with them because they're wealthy. Does she really love me or does she like my Benz? You know.
Yes.
Huh? Does she
yes,
like the restaurants?
Absolutely.
You know.
So, yeah, and I think you should put your energy in other people. We were talking about, yes, when I grew up, my father, you know, other people, you know, watch out, they're lazy or out to get you.
Mm.
I had a secretary once, she came back from a weekend workshop. She said, Alan, I learned about reverse paranoia.
Oh.
I said, what's that? She said, assume that people are out to do you good.
Oh, I love it.
You know, I thought that was a wonderful concept.
That is a cool concept. Assume that people... That's right. Try to assume the best. Huh? Sort of.
Absolutely.
Kind of hard to do, though.
Expect the best. Prepare for the worst so you're prepared. But expect good things to happen, and they will.
Well, you know, and along those lines, another tool that you talk about in your book, People Tools, it's called the positive self-fulfilling prophecy. So what do you mean when you say that if we predict the future, we're likely to be right? So how can we not do that when negative stuff has happened to us in the past and is happening to others around us all the time? I mean, it's just how do we kind of survive that?
I think you have to practice that because, you know, most of us, we want to be right. Well, if you predict failure... Well, you can be right all the time.
Right.
If you predict success, you're not going to be right all the time. But, you know, I'd rather predict success 10 times and have success 6 times than predict failure 10 times and have failure almost every time.
Wow.
So make your prediction positive.
Yeah. Right, because it makes you anxious if you're going to amp up. And, you know, I talked about at the beginning of the show, Alan, about people who get addicted to that drama. Boy, they love that pain. Woo! That pity party stuff feels good sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And incidentally, I did want to mention, you know, People Tools is now out in audio. I read the whole book, and so, you know, if your listeners are driving around or whatever, a lot of people like audio books nowadays. So,
what a great idea.
That's a cool thing.
By the way, and I wanted to talk about this at the end of the show, but let's just insert it right here. How can folks get a hold of your book and possibly check out your CD as well and find out more about you?
Yes, absolutely. Well, our website is peopletoolsbook.com, and so you can look us up there. And, you know, the book is at bookstores, obviously Amazon, and wherever books, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. And I'd love to hear from people, so peopletoolsbook.com. Just write to me or leave a comment, and be happy to talk to people.
Cool. Write that down, folks. And by the way, of course, all the shows here on LA Talk Radio on the couch are available tomorrow and on and on and on. For download and replay in case you missed some of the really cool points that you're going to learn from my guest today, Alan Fox. And also all my shows are available on iTunes podcast for free. So there you go. And I'll tell you more about that, how you can, you know, listen, take notes. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and also
take
I'm going to be at
folks.
The LA Festival of Books down at USC on April 12th and 13th.
Oh, cool.
That's a fun thing to do, go around the booths and see what people are writing and talk to them. It's a lot of fun.
Exactly, because you're here in LA, too. That's right. So,
yes.
Yeah, so cool. So, and also, as you know, speaking about LA and every other major city in the country, the, you know, audiobooks come in real handy because you're on the freeway most of the time. So you can read a whole book in 2 days by listening
to it.
Absolutely. All right. By the way, folks, let me remind you, if you'd like to call in, you may do so if you have a question for my special guest, Alan Fox, author of People Tools. You can do so at 323-203-0815. And also you can email me if you're a little shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air. Doc Michelle, DLC Michelle, I have two L's in my name, at AOL. All right? So let's talk about another one of your tools that I really liked. It's called Target Practice. It's where you talk about life goals. So can you talk a little bit more about this and how it can help folks?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we make what I think is a mistake of having a target which is too narrow. So in other words, if you say you're going to end up at a certain position in a specific company in a specific city, that's a pretty narrow target. It's like, you know, being William Tell and trying to shoot an apple off the head of your young son. Whereas, you know, I say, make your target as big as an IMAX screen. Make it huge. In other words, instead of on your birthday saying, you know, I'm going to go to Vegas and get a room and win money and be very specific, just say, on my birthday, I'm going to have a lot of fun. And then fill in what's fun. So if you keep it general, you're going to be a lot happier and meet your goal a lot more easily than if you make it. I know a man who, you know, he wanted a wife, you know, 5'8" and give up her job for him and all kinds of things. And finally, he gave up all those specific requirements, found someone, and was very, very happily married.
Wow. That's great. No, that's so true. We have to do those things. Great point, Alan. And, you know, one of the really old sayings as well, we've heard it for so many years, and it's corny, but it's true. They say that the optimist sees the glass as half full, and the pessimist sees the glass as half empty. Kind of waver in that a lot of times, but in one of your...
I love that saying, Michelle. I have a different, different twist on that. One of my tools is shrink the glass. I don't care if it's half full or half empty. Get a smaller glass, and your glass will always be full.
Wow. Does that make a lot of sense? So lower your expectations, or just allow yourself to not be so all or nothing? Is that what you're saying, Alan? in your thinking?
Absolutely. You know, for example, yeah. You know, my wife is very friendly. She's very outgoing, has a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to go to weddings of people I don't know.
Right.
And but, you know, I often do that to please her. And if I'm at the wedding, I can either say to myself, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. This is terrible. And not have a good time. Or I can look at the positives. I can say, hey, it's a nice outdoor day, and the food is great, and, you know, I'll talk to some people, or, you know, read the New York Times on my iPad. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
sure.
If I'm going to do it, I might as well look at the positives and give myself a positive message and enjoy myself.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, does that make a lot of sense. It really does. Just come on. Just chill out, have a good time, see what happens. It's an adventure, isn't it? Instead of anticipating the worst, it's we step into a new adventure, right? We just kind of go.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's the truth, by the way. You know, I was talking also earlier about how so many of my patients have a lot of anxiety. Because, and you, of course, mentioned the four P's you said in your alliteration, persistent patterns, persistently. People have to be perfect all the time. And we did talk that you were this hopeless prisoner of perfection. But how can we get past that? I mean, that's a toughie to always be checking ourselves and always be trying to wonder what others are thinking or to... How did you get past that, and how do you suggest folks do that?
Well, I realized after many years that when I wasn't perfect, and I know when I'm not perfect because I have very high standards, but and I fall short, and other people don't notice or think what I'm doing is perfectly wonderful. So you have to understand that I don't think people expect perfection.
Right.
And, you know, they expect you to be real. And I really think that in relationships, if you're honest
yes.
and real, you're going to do a lot better than trying to be perfect, which is, in my view, a fool's errand anyway. You're not going to succeed too much in being absolutely perfect.
Gosh, yes. You know what I find is a lot of young adults, and I'm talking, you know, anywhere from, let's just say, early 20s to mid-30s, late-30s, who I see mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, there's just such pressure on them to be perfect. You have to perform. You have to be the best. Has it changed? I mean, do you think a lot of folks...
Well, a lot of parents are very uptight. And yeah. They want their kids to go to Harvard. And, mm-hmm. you know, at age three, you're preparing for Harvard, which, not every kid belongs at Harvard. And so parents are trying to, many of us are trying to be perfect to please our parents.
Yes.
And no, when my five-year-old daughter comes in with her crayon drawings, I'm not going to say, well, you know, trees aren't really red.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, you know, that you had fun with it. That looks great.
Yeah.
And, my poetry journal, Rattle, we just did a book of poems by kids from 3.5 to 15. And I'll tell you something. Children up to about age 9 or 10, they're free, they write what they feel and see, and they write very good poetry. But then they start to get inhibited, and it has to be right, and teachers or parents have told them, no, you got to do it right.
Yeah.
And it's not of the same quality.
Yes. Gosh, it's so true. Wow, well said. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Alan Fox. He's the author of his latest book. It's called People Tools, 54 Strategies. 54, count them, folks, for building relationships, creating joy, and embracing prosperity. And that's what it's all about, right, Alan? That's what it's about, man.
Right. Absolutely. I think, you know, all of us have relationships all the time. You know, very few of us are hermits living in a cave.
Mm.
And so you got to get along with other people. And the better you do it. I was at my dentist this morning. He said, Alan, you know, you're always so up, so happy. It makes me happy.
Yeah.
He says, you know, I'm a dentist. Most of the people come here are not too happy.
Yeah.
And I say, if I have to do it, I'm going to be happy with the results and happy seeing him. And just be joyful as much as I possibly can, including even going to the dentist.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. Ooh, just numb me out. That's all I want. Just, you know
right.
what I'm saying? Jiggle the jaw. Put that shot in there. Give me an IV. And then I'll be happy. I'm sorry. I had to throw that in, Alan. I'm sorry. That's terrible. No. I retract that statement. Now it's going to be, Dr. Michelle likes drugs. Yeah. No. But I don't like dentists. you know, no, not personally, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
I loved a tool that you gave in your book. It was really an important part, a real, you know, kind of eye-opener here. A lot of folks don't know how to solve certain problems or what they call crises, you know, going on in their lives. And they keep going down that slippery slope, and they're, it's kind of like trying to walk up an icy mountain here, and they don't know how to get out of it. So you have created what you call the four C's that you suggest people follow before it's too late. What are those four C's, and how can they really help folks?
No, good question. I saw a play years ago, actually it was written by a friend of mine, and he, in the play, is imagining you're in an airplane and you're flying along and your engine, you know, just starting to putter, whatever, not work too well. He says, there are four C's that you have to do to save yourself. First, confess. Confess that you're lost. Confess that you have a problem. So you have to know that you have a problem, and then the second C is climb. Climb higher, get an overview, do some research, talk to people to find out the extent of your problem and where you are and know where you want to go. Then contact. Contact a ground station. In other words, contact somebody who can help you. Might be a therapist, might be a doctor, might be a friend. A friend's going to be very helpful. So first you confess, climb, contact someone who can help you, and then commit. Commit to a course of action. Obviously, if you're up in an airplane, you're going to come down at some point. So you got to commit to a course of action and then do it. A lot of people will just dither around with their problems for years and never commit to a course of action. So those are the four C's.
Really good points, too. And you go into details in your book, People Tools, as well, which really, you know, it's profound. You get, it sounds simple, but you have to really sit and think about the four C's. You go, yeah, you know what? He's right. Yeah, exactly. Alan, we have a an email from a listener here that came over on DocMichelle@AOL. And she's reaching out to you asking a question. So shall we tackle it? Shall we go for it?
Sure.
All right.
Go for it.
All right. All right. This comes from Lisa. Looks like Lisa. She said, hey, Alan, love the show. I'm a 26-year-old law student, and I can't seem to find any normal guys to go out with or have relationships with in Los Angeles. Oh, Lisa, I'm not laughing at you. I hear this a lot. I think I'm good looking, but not hot. But it's all about being sexy in Los Angeles. Who's the skinniest? Who's the hottest? I just want to meet a normal guy. Is it my self-esteem? What is going on with why I can't find anyone who's normal? That's a hard question to answer, isn't it, Alan? Well, thanks, Lisa.
Well, yes, it is, and it's a very important question because, you know, most of us want a relationship, certainly friends or love relationship, and that is so important. And I agree, in Los Angeles, you know, physical appearance is one of the large initial criteria by which we judge people, and I say unfortunately, because do you really want someone who's just good-looking? And I would say to Lisa, and it is kind of self-esteem, if you think that you're good enough, or if you think you're desirable, then other people, you're giving them a cue. And if you don't, you know, I had a friend who actually would talk to women and say, I don't suppose you'd like to go out with me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you can't do it that way.
Right.
So what you have to do is just be and care about others. You know, on a first date, I would always ask questions. And at the end of the dinner or something, the woman with me would I would know a lot about her, and I'd be happy to answer questions too.
Right.
But get to know people and be transparent yourself. I think we're all afraid of being vulnerable and exposing ourselves, but you know, I think that's very compelling. I think people really, really respond to that when you tell them what's going on with you and you're really truthful about it.
Boy, is that true. Great advice. Thank you so much, Lisa, for writing in. I mean, that is, you really have to think about that. And you're right. I mean, I hear that complaint from a lot of young women. In any major city, you know, it's all about with the media, the way they portray us, right, Alan? We have to be, everybody has to be
absolutely
hot, sexy, intriguing, fascinating, interesting, brilliant. You know, you have to just be yourself and be okay with who you are. Sounds easy? Not too easy all the time, but But thank you again for emailing us. We really appreciate it. And by the way, you want to check out Alan's book. It really does have a lot of helpful suggestions for you to, you know, get yourself together. It's called People Tools, 54 Strategies for Building Relationships, Creating Joy, and Embracing Prosperity. You know, I work a lot in the psychoanalytic, psychodynamic, not so much analytic sort of place sometimes with people, because we do have to talk about old stuff that we've shoved down into our subconscious sometimes. I do believe. I do believe in the subconscious. I do. You talk about stuffing it in our sub, which, you know, makes me think of a sandwich. That's where my head goes because I'm always hungry. But,
right.
You know, but what, this is a great people tool. What do you mean by that in your book?
Well, I read about that when I was a freshman in college, and it said your subconscious can solve problems. So you don't have to do it consciously and work on it and try hard. I just, when I come to something I don't know, I took a course once in Shakespeare, and the final exam was an incredible question, and I thought, I don't even know how to start here. Yeah. So I said, subconscious, take over. And I saw my hand writing, and I thought, should I know that? Oh, well, that's pretty good. It was kind of like automatic writing. So if you have a problem, and you say to your subconscious, help me out. Wow. And then go back to your subconscious in an hour or two or a day or two. And eventually, it'll probably come up with a very, very good answer.
Boy, does that make a lot of sense. Sleeping is great, too. When we get enough rest, you know, we can, you know, what did Einstein do? His power naps, and then he wrote questions, and he'd wake up, and he'd have sort of the answers that were sort of lurking in there. And this is more about intellect, but I mean, in terms of, you know, working through problems, doesn't have to be mathematical problems, but emotional problems, too.
No.
We need that rest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why they say sleep on it. You know, I think that's a very good idea.
That is great. That's a beauty. We talk about being vulnerable and just giving up our ego sometimes as well, you know, in therapy, as you know.
Yep.
You know, we just say, come on, give it up. Just lose it, dude. Well, a lot of people say by giving an apology or by being more vulnerable and trying to give up that ego defense system we have, we appear weak. What do you say about that?
Well, I say an apology is very important. And it's not, you know, I look at an apology as a sign of strength, that you have the strength to apologize and say you're sorry. And you don't have to be sorry for what you did necessarily, but you certainly can be sorry if the other person responds badly or is upset about it. I'm really sorry you're upset. I didn't intend to upset you.
Yeah.
So you don't have to apologize for what you said or did necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
You can apologize for hurting someone's feelings, and they're going to feel better, you'll feel better. And again, I think, you know, if you have to be seen as perfect, then you'll never apologize, because obviously whatever you did was absolutely perfect, and other people were misinterpreting, and that's their problem. Well, if it's their problem, and you want a relationship, it's your problem.
Boy, is that true. That is so true. And sometimes when we do give an apology, even if we don't feel like it, right? We're hanging on to stuff, and it's nice just to be, sometimes just chill that ego and be socially appropriate. Say, wow, if I hurt you or offended you, I am so sorry. That wasn't my intention. Makes them feel better. Right? Folks,
when I started learning psychology, you know, I used to have to be perfect in my office, and I learned that people don't like that. So when I made a mistake, I would actually advertise it. I'd say, boy, this is a beautiful mistake I made. And my office ran a lot better because people felt that we were on the same team.
Yeah.
It wasn't me looking at them through a one-way glass, and I was always perfect because I shared when I made a mistake, and it really was wonderful.
Yeah, they don't look at you as like this authoritarian, he's the boss. He's always thinks he's perfect. And, you know, people just build up these misconceptions about the boss. But you seem a little more, you know, vulnerable. And they go, oh, he's a real person. Wow, it's pretty cool. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on LA Talk Radio and on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And my special guest today, Alan Fox, author of the book People Tools. He's talking about, in his book, 54 Strategies for Building Relationships, Creating Joy, and Embracing Prosperity. we're talking about a few of those concepts because I wish we had 54 to lay out, but we're just doing the quick and dirty of some of the really important ones. They're all important, so you've got to pick up the book. We'll tell you how you can get that book in just a little bit, by the way. Hey, Alan, I really liked your chapter on having a non-versation. You're such a cool guy. I love your writing. You're such a cool guy. It sort of helps with arguments. So what does that mean? How does that work?
Well, normally, if you have a problem with someone, especially, you know, your spouse or partner or whatever, you want them to change. And so, you know, if my wife says, Alan, I want to talk to you about something, I say to myself, uh-oh, this is bad news. She's going to be critical, et cetera. And so I start thinking about my defenses. No, I didn't do that. Well, I did it, but it's okay. Yeah. So what we do is we have a non-versation. In other words, one of us will talk, and the other will listen, and only listen. You don't have to explain. You don't respond. You don't admit anything. You don't agree. You just listen. And in that way, I can really hear what she has to say, and she's not afraid that I'm going to come back and argue about it. Yeah. So she can say as clearly and completely as she wants to what she wants from me or what I'm doing that she doesn't like. And then another time, the next day or later, we can talk about it. But have a non-versation so that you can get the information out and feel heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guy who worked for me, and he used to complain about this and that. I'd say, try this, try that. And I went for a year, and he would always say, no, that won't work. Finally, he said, Alan, I just want to complain.
Yes.
Oh. So we've had conversations. He would complain. I'd say, oh, that's too bad. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And he would feel heard, and I would feel I didn't have to solve anything.
Well, I love it. Yeah, that's right. Just listen and sometimes reflect back. So I hear that you're saying blah, 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 blah. Am I right? Yeah, you got it, man.
Right.
That's right. You got it. Alan, we're just about out of time here, but I would like listeners to find out how they can get a hold of your book, People Tools, and also find out more about you. Possibly also pick up that CD that's coming out so when they're sitting in traffic, they can hear your book.
Right, absolutely. Well, you can get me personally, Alan, A-L-A-N, at peopletoolsbook.com, or just go to our website, which is peopletoolsbook.com.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm thrilled that my book got on the New York Times bestseller list.
Mm-hmm.
And people just, you know, one of the tools someone wrote me said the 80% solution saved my marriage.
Yes.
And so anyway, but peopletoolsbook.com, drop by and see me at the L.A. Book Fair. And the book is available online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and in most bookstores throughout Los Angeles. I'm also having a reading at Romans Friday next week, the 14th.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's super. By the way, reading in Rome, did you just say?
No, Romans. Romans, the independent bookstore in Pasadena.
Got it.
It's one of the best bookstores in Southern California.
It sure is, man. And by the way, the reason why I said Rome is because this show is international and can be heard over and over and over again. We're here live right now in all different time zones around the world. But anyway, folks, don't forget April 13th as well. That's where you're going to be at the book fair. And that is in Los Angeles here as well, right?
That's correct. University of Southern California campus.
Great campus. That'll be really awesome. So, listen, Alan, it's been a pleasure. Not enough time, as always, but I love it because you live your truth. You live your book. You've been married for 30 years. You have 6 assertive children, I'm reading. I know all about
right.
you. I know all about you. 2 stepchildren and 1 foster child. God bless you. You're an amazing guy, and you live your truth. So,
I try to do that, Michelle.
Thank you so much for your time on the air here with me and also for your book.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Take good care now.
Okay. Yeah. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. It's always really refreshing to, you know, read something that really, really does ring true and help people out. So I love it. All right. This is Dr. Michelle. It's about time to get off the couch here. Well, you can stay on. More terrific shows coming up here on LA Talk Radio. Of course, you can download, replay the show. We'll be available with content on how to get a hold of Alan or read his book, People Tools, as well. And that's the way it works here. All right. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. You know, that's where we've got to start. Come on now. Go within. Take a look at yourself. Then you can get out there and make a lot more friends, be happier, get your family together. or choose not to. All right, I'll talk to you next Friday at 11 live here on LA Talk Radio, or, of course, you can check out all the shows on iTunes podcasts for free on the couch. Take good care now. Bye-bye.